Hi, and welcome to My Heart Remembers, where, you know, we endeavor to find you magnificent people to chat about their journeys and what they do offer from these incredible journeys to the world as well, as you know. And we've traveled the world in many ways here. You know, we've been from India to California and Great Britain. Yeah. So we're here today with someone who has traveled their life. They've taken their life and they've traveled with their life, and they're magnificent and fantastic. And I'm very excited to hear about where this journey's gone and what it's bringing us, because there is public stuff you can find for her online, and we'll get to that later. But at the moment, we have her here with us, and we're going to sit back and we're going to chat today with Rosemary T. Mupamwa. Hi.
Hello. Hello, Zina. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I mean, it was, it is Tracy Lamore who, has been on my show, and she is a really brutally brilliant woman. I know it's a harsh word to use, but I mean, in the sense, she's come up against some very difficult tasks in the world, on human rights, in her own right, and overcame them, you know, and help people overcome them. And I know myself, and I'm sure you do as well, what a giant task that is.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I said brutally. I know that when you do this, you know, you come up against real brick walls, and some walls are throwing things at you. and it can be worse, but we're not going to go there. We're going to talk about, you know, individually taking responsibility for ourselves and our health, which is something that I believe is important for all of us. And I know that you offer from your journey. So we'll go a bit, if you're okay with that, on the journey that brought you here to North America, because you originally are from the African continent, right? Which you were in one of my favorite names, and the one country I've done at least some hard research on, because I don't trust the colonial histories. I don't have any faith in them, and I understand they have information that may be correct, dates, names, people who, you know, discharged crazy ideals. And I have been blessed to have find some history buffs in the world who have come forward and said, well, we were forced by the British Empire to write these types of histories for nations. And some of them, I believe, were from the nation you originally came from. And what, it's a beautiful name, and it means something really important. My brain is stopping. What is the name again of that nation?
Zimbabwe.
Oh, yeah. It means it has to do with the type of governance that used to be there.
Yes.
Yeah. Now that's, I say that because I know that people have been trained, like they have about North America, to believe that these people were not we call it civilized. Okay. Civilized. Whatever. We'll go with that. Right? Civilized. How about a safe place to live for human beings?
Yeah.
Right? With its disputes, I gather, as we all do at times. But there was a whole level of intricate governance that we as the world really don't know much about. And I know that the name Zimbabwe has something to do with that.
Yeah. So Zimbabwe has something to do with our traditional history, because there is a monument back in our country where the chief in those days used to live. Mm-hmm. So this palace, well, it's a stone palace.
My favorite.
Stone.
I spend a lot of time viewing worldwide, mm-hmm. Especially dry stone. I think that's dry stone monument or building. Mm-hmm. It's actually a castle. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorites, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. When you look at it, it's so amazing in that back then, people knew how to balance rocks without water and build a castle and build like a huge protection wall.
That's why I hate to say back then, as though they weren't a culture who understood the physics of their reality.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, obviously, they survived there for longer than humanity, the rest of humanity itself, because it is the motherland for all of us, right? All humans. Yeah. As we do know, they at least admit that. So that my personal view of how history rolls along is that there's places around the world, between two rivers. that's terrible. Where we claim it's the motherland. And I can't think of the name. That's hilarious. And normally it's right there. But it's over in Turkey area, the area we know as Turkey now. And that there is some really amazing structures there as well.
Yeah.
But the culture really isn't, it's like it moved north in an essence. And you can definitely see it there, mm-hmm. the relationship of And so, okay, so you're telling me I'll stop. Please tell me more about this incredible culture that, as I've learned, that language is much deeper in and different than the English language in many of the more ancient cultures. I love how people in the sciences try to treat them like they're not very bright, when I've discovered that basically they have things like a word may actually, and a symbol or the combination thereof may actually have mathematical calculations in them that can help, and tones like actual sound tones, like notes and whatnot. There's all kinds of things they have for building. Yeah. And as one example of what a deeper core of even a religious language will have, and it's treated like it's stupid because they don't actually understand the depth. And so that building, is amazing, by the way. That's all I really wanted to say. Out of all the years I've looked and looked and looked, and it's one of my top favorites.
It's majestic. That's what I call it. Because every time I go there, I'm always in awe. Like, okay, people were labeled as uncivilized. So if they were so uncivilized, how can they build this monument?
Yeah, well, actually, it seems like a working structure, and there's a particular shape to it that I've discovered exists all through Europe as well.
Yeah.
I could show you the images, but I mean, even into Great Britain, they have these, the shape of it has this curve that comes in on the one edge, which makes the entrance so you can't just walk directly into them. You have to actually go around a curve.
Around it, yeah.
So you have to slow down. You can't run at it.
Mm-hmm. Run in and out, no.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like a threshold of, for different reasons. This is like a spiritual place, I'm sure, if you're going to speak with someone who has been allowed to, this is my opinion, if they've been allowed, I mean, I know we live in a world now who people have in a position of what we call power. This culture is at a greed level. So therefore, you want these people to be greedier than you. That's the kind of thing we're living in. And in the past, there's a level where we didn't do that. We're like, we're actually here to work together. You know, you're off on your own thing hunting and you come here to trade. And, you know, it's a whole safer, healthier level of government. It's not like they were God, but they certainly had an opportunity to be a little more stable in their spiritual understanding of things. When you get a chance to be in a place that is safer than most.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because this planet isn't exactly the safest place in the world. I mean, the animals love us. There's no question about it. But we certainly eat them. And of course, that creates a whole other level. And they know that animals, when they do eat human, that often they will continue to. So I'm just teasing. But, you know, that's a great fear to me, because fear and greed are really related to each other.
Yeah.
And I'm rambling on, and I shouldn't be, because, okay, so I'm trying to redo an entire history here that I don't know, and I've only been blessed with the opportunity to study a little bit and find some real glimpses. And my own studies of understanding language is like a daily process I try to work on. And I'm learning that I thankfully, part of the study goes into Kabbalah. So there's Hebrew in there. And if you know Hebrew, that it comes with the number, as a number, it also comes with an idea. And there's a whole level of that. So when I'm looking at the other things, I realize there's a deeper, deeper level to the languages, especially those coming from places like Africa and North America right now.
Okay. Interesting.
That our buildings are related to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, so that building has a very grand entrance, and it has a great history, which we don't know. Like, did you get a chance to get some of the stories while you lived there about the true history outside of this Europeanized version of it?
Yeah. So that's that monument. That's where the king used to live. So when you look at it, there's like a cone-shaped monument, which mm-hmm. is very close to the center of the whole structure. So that's where the king used to live and his army. When you go up the mountain, there's mm-hmm. also another part of the monument, but most of it is now in rubbles. But that's where the king himself used to live. And then all the other parts, that's where his children and his wives used to live. So the whole concept of the great entrance into the great Zimbabwe is you go in circles. And this was also to help to slow down the enemy. If the enemy came in full force trying to attack the whole kingdom, mm-hmm. when they get into the entrance, if ever they were able to get in, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Then by the time they are going round and round, you know, they are tired, they are confused, they are anxious because they don't know exactly where they're going to. And in the meantime, the king's army is already tracking them down.
Definitely. It's definitely a military strategic entrance. Yeah. It is definitely designed to slow someone down without a question. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's cool, because I had stared at it for a long time. Like I said, looked at similar, similar structures all through Africa. There's similar structures all through Great Britain and Europe. And I'm uncertain about Mesopotamia area, but I don't know. You know, I'm just saying I've seen it as a very unique, as in we know where it came from, right? Africa.
Yeah.
Like it was already, we already knew how to build, you know, before we were out of there. So it's ancient, right? Which is so ancient that it tells you that this idea of what we call culture and structure and civilization has already, you know, been for thousands and thousands. And of course, Göbekli Tepe tells you, gives you a glimpse, because they were saying that it's like let's say 12,000 years. No, how does it work? 12,000 years. And then, of course, what they discovered is that Göbekli Tepe goes back that another 12,000 or something. It's crazy. I'm being ridiculous here, but I know it's something crazy like that. Thousands and thousands, like double the amount that we know of building and rock and structures, right? And of course, Africa goes back even longer. We're talking hundreds of thousands of freaking years of living on an entire continent and thriving as a people. The history has been, you know, in the sense of what we call history, has been wiped out. But yes, you lived there, so there's obviously a dialogue that goes on.
Yeah.
With it. You know, that I've discovered images of that building just bring me to a place of awe and love. I don't know how to explain it. So, yeah. Thank you for mentioning it. But is there a sense of names? Not that it matters to some of these kings.
A sense of names?
Yeah, like, I mean, in a set, you know, I just wonder so deeply that, like, as far as I can tell, there's something very special about that culture that is still within our own, and we don't even realize it, right? There's something really beautiful and caring and loving about taking care of each other that I see from it, and I just see from looking at how it's spread amongst the world. I get this wild vision of certain. And I always think there's a lot more queens than there were kings there, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And that they actually said, no, we're going to send you off and we want to send you with all the things you need so you can move further out of the area, right? Like, that's how I see it. I get that, you know, as humanity moved north, that there was an entire culture given to them to take with them, you know, to help them survive.
Yes.
How to build safe buildings, how to hunt and how to live as a community.
Yeah.
Peacefully.
So the culture, you know, was based on extended family, community. It was community based. Nobody really owned anything. It all belonged to a certain clan. So in my culture, we belong to clans. And back there, when you belong to a certain clan, you cannot marry in that clan. You have to marry outside that clan. But when you come in, coming from another clan, they would teach you their way of living. And you would go through an assimilation process where you adapt to that culture. If you are a woman marrying into another clan, then you change your name, you change the way you talk, you also change the way you dress, and you embrace the new culture that you are going into. And when you have a child didn't necessarily belong to you as the mom. It belonged to the whole family, because when you go to the field, you could just take your child and leave it with your auntie if your auntie has time to look after the child. And it was normal. You didn't have to make an appointment to go and see your granddad. You just show up at your granddad's home. You are hungry. Your grandma would make you food. But it's so different with the Western culture because, for example, now I can't just show up at my daughter's house. I have to make an appointment that I'm coming to your house. But back in Zimbabwe, you don't make an appointment. You just show up because that's the community living we have. When you have food, you share it with everybody. But here, it's so very individualistic. It's one man for himself and God for us all. And the other thing also that I'm still struggling with is the way people greet each other here or the way people address each other. Back home, when you are walking in the street, going to the field or going to the well, you say good morning to everybody that you come across. Good morning, how was your night? You know, mm-hmm. It's not that I want to know that you had sleepless nights or anything. No, it's just acknowledging that I see you. How are you doing? Is there anything I can do to help you? But here, when you say good morning to somebody, they give you a look like, good morning, what do you want from me? Like, no, I don't want anything. I'm just good morning. And then you say, how was your night? And they are like, wow, that's very intrusive. Like, wow, I grew up. And when you are having your lunch.
Well, I guess, you know, there's also a level there where perhaps we are dealing with people who have a loss of community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, we could get into this because I know that you're probably helping people through this type of alienation that some of us in the world, like yourself and others, are other, right? You're othered, right?
Yeah.
People who are trans, people who are gay are othered. But the other issue is that everyone is feeling a level of that, even if it's not real. And that's why I loved one of your comments, which is, well, there's a point where you're feeling sorry for yourself and you need to, I mean, you don't say this, but my experience is that I need to actually face that, mm-hmm. right? You know, there are times where we're being victimized. Yes. Okay. But there's points where we're actually forming a victim attitude. And people have tried to say that to people. Well, this person does need a hand, is having problems. We'll use the word victim, but it's not actually what we're trying to do for this person. We want them to step out of that.
Yes.
Step away from, and not to say that, okay, that darn stuff that you went through is soul destroying, heartbreaking. Well, you've had that, but I'm just saying that this is something that a lot of people have had on their journey. Even if they, you know, even if not, they're not othered, but you know, if they're not strong and stand up after this happens 5 minutes after, then they're othered. Cause it's like this idea, like, well, who cares? You don't have any, you know, everything's going to work out. Kind of, it's a crazy world.
It is. It's a crazy world. You are very right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know we couldn't really, I couldn't definitely express, and I'm trying to do that, express how crazy it is. But you're speaking of a community mm-hmm. where people allow themselves to light up, because my goodness, it is amazing when you get to see another human and say hi.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I have always felt that way, but not like definitely more so to the degree of shock and awe mm-hmm. over the last year, right? Because I've been isolated. I basically have seen all of four people, you know, physically.
Yeah.
No, probably more than that, but very, very few people. And even then, at a distance, no hugs, you know, can't do that. So the whole thing of greeting, I'm good at greeting with my eyes. I've discovered this. And detecting it in others, you know, because there's a shop I go to here and you have to wear your mask, but I've been going to the shop for years mm-hmm. and we know each other and we love each other and we... and we always have a laugh together, but that, you know, that's what you're saying in general is that most people here don't have that.
Yeah.
Generosity of spirit.
Yeah, they don't.
It's part of being human, though, is what I propose.
Yes, it is. Because you can never live in a vacuum. You go nuts when you're alone. You know, I would go nuts.
Don't tell anyone I am going nuts, but I already was a bit. So, but okay, yeah. So, I'm have awe and wonder for any of the ancient cultures. To me, all of the ancestors on the globe, to me, are someone to be honored because they brought us here, and they brought us here safely. I'm here safely. I'm very blessed. I know that means that I need to have my heart open to my community and help and insist in that. And I know that's like an alien thing, but there are plenty of other people, you know. And so you, there are plenty of other people who want that as well, is what I was going to say. I'm not alone in that, you know, and that's really a part of the show. And because of a history for yourself, you had to learn to actually rise up out of the ashes.
Yeah. I had to use the sense of community in me
because after
I'd gone through numerous losses in my life, I kind of receded into my own shell, and that didn't help me to go through the grief and the loss, the frustrations and everything else. The emotional drain that I was going through, I then resorted to my community for help.
Yeah.
And that really reignited the old self again. Because, you know, growing up, I grew up with seven siblings. So there was never anything that was just for me. It was for all of us.
Yeah.
And when you are sad, sitting in a corner somewhere, you know, 5 minutes doesn't go by before another sibling finds you. And they want to know why you are sitting in that corner quiet when we are outside playing. What's wrong with you? What's going on? Mm-hmm. So somebody would be there to find out what's going on. And they would ask you, how can we help you?
Yeah.
So I had to resort to that, you know.
Oh, in yourself.
Yeah. If I'm hiding in this corner in my grief, people are not going to find me. So I had to put myself out there again so that people could find me and help me to get out of my rock bottom situation.
And those steps, you've come to understand them, and you teach them now.
Yeah. Now I teach people that you can never go through pain or grieving alone. You need to find support. You need to build a community of support around you, and you need to be able to ask for help. You know, if you are stuck somewhere. Until you realize, you go through that self-realization that I'm in a hole somewhere and I need to get out. This is not right. That realization is also very important.
Yeah.
And also accepting that you have issues. You have gone through so much loss, so much grief that, yes, that has affected me. And then once you realize that, what are you going to do? What's your next step? Your next step is forgive those people that caused you that pain. Because if you don't forgive them, you know, you are going to continue being very, very resentful of other people. You are going to build your all these walls around yourself as well to protect yourself. But the more you try to protect yourself, the more you are isolating yourself from the community. That can help you to draw you out of that hole. So once you realize that you know what, and I cannot do this alone, being vulnerable is a huge critical factor in moving forward. But
can I offer that? I have, and I'm having had traumas and situations that. Amount to, according to my psychiatrist, that, well, we're lucky you're alive, right? Because people have been through that kind of thing. And I know you're you would fit in the same category, that what you've gone through is enough to force you into taking drugs or whatever, you know, a whole list of things. And you're not, you're alive. And that's a shock kind of thing. And just to shock me into realizing that, although I think I'm doing okay, I'm not, right? And I hadn't been really asking outward, because I discovered prior to that, in this culture, when I did ask outward, I discovered that some of the most horrific people I knew came straight to me and at me. And I mean, for example, one of them was a woman who I understood hates men. To me, they're half of the human race. And I have issues with the culture I live in, but that doesn't mean I hate men.
Yeah.
And this is just an example of what came at me, never mind the people who attempted to sexually, because I'm vulnerable, right? I was at a state where I was vulnerable and I admitted it, right? And there's a bunch of men here and there who would sexually harass me or worse, right? So the other thing is this woman coming, she's the same to me, because she comes to me, says, well, let's go for tea. And that really is that thing you're talking about, that community heartwarming thing. Yeah. Go have a tea, relax with a couple lovely, good women. But it wasn't that. It was this woman who had other women with her who hate men. And they, you know, because I was having a situation with my husband, they figured I would join them. And I'm like, well, you know, I love you. She even got me alone at some point to do this, to get me to agree with her to hate men, like flat out to agree with her. And now I'm in her tribe. Right. And I'm like, well, that's just not going to happen. Like I said, don't get me wrong. I have real issues with this culture, but I cannot blame it on men, to be honest with you. That's just crazy. That's half of the human race. And as soon as you get over that, please get in touch with me. I'd love to chat with you. You know, I'm not going to degrade her. She's a human being. She was she's the least horrific attack that occurred when I was down. So I'm just saying, in this culture, there are people around you in this culture who are waiting to grab you when you're down.
Yes.
Right? When you ask for help. And that's really what I had never been a person to ask for help. Right? Unless it off, you know, I would help all kinds of people. And my brother even said that to me, Zina. You help people. That's who you are. You know, just go and help people, you know, because I got so down, you know, that I really definitely, without doubt, got to a point of being suicidal, which is crazy, as you know, because that's not an answer, you know?
Yeah, it's not an answer to the problem, because if you kill yourself, the problem won't go with you. It will remain behind and affect the people that you have left behind.
Oh my goodness, yes. You know, Oh, and in many ways, right?
In so many ways.
Not an answer, but I heard it. Yeah. My being felt it. And I, of course, that's when I reached out more, but still, to be honest with you, in this culture, like, people don't know, like, I have met people who know how to give, right? And so there's no attachment to that giving.
Yeah.
Right? And I was very blessed to have a few of those people step into my life, right? They didn't have much to give me, and they knew that. They're like, well, you don't need much. Here's a pair of boots, whatever, you know. They're out there. They're in this culture. And they would do it for anyone, you know. And they did appear here and there. And I know that without that, you know, as a strong note in my life.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with that around me. I wasn't doing what I was doing because it was an accident. You know, it's, and it's not like I feel like I've done anything for the world. You know, that's why when my brother said it to me, I thought, what is he talking about? and that type of thing, I'm saying, you hit that wall though.
Yeah.
Right. Like, have you discovered ways to help people through that? Because to be honest with you, you know, when you're in that state in this culture, I mean, there are organizations you can go to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I actually did that. And that wasn't much help,
mm-hmm.
to be quite honest with you. I have a psychiatrist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not much help. The drugs and everything he put me through made me sicker.
Yeah.
You know, and as an example.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I'm just saying that, you know, when you get to a point like you were, how did you reach out?
Yeah, for me, the way I reached out was I was able to let people in and also to listen to what people were saying about me and the way I was reacting to my pain.
Yeah.
The first people that I started really paying attention to were my children, because they mm-hmm. kept on saying, "Mom, something is wrong. You're no longer the same person." But to me, I looked and behaved the same. Yeah. But I had changed. I didn't realize I had changed yeah. until I came to that realization that why are my kids always telling me that, "Mom, you have changed?" So it's acceptance. The first thing is that you accept that you
have. Oh, so you're saying the first yeah. thing you want to look for mm-hmm. for anyone out there.
Yeah.
Who right this moment is feeling down is to look for the voice that says there is something different about you.
Yeah, there's something different about you. Is this how you used to behave or to look at life before? Because, you know, when you have gone through some trauma in your life, it doesn't matter what kind of trauma. You could have been divorced. You could have been widowed. You could have gone through a car accident, for example, you know. You still have those triggers every time, or you have nightmares, or there's things that happen to you, and then you kind of go back, you know, and into that fetal position because you want to protect yourself.
So no, I recommend the fetal position to mm-hmm. anyone who's feeling off.
Yeah, yeah.
I do. I highly recommend. Don't be afraid of it.
Yeah, don't be afraid of it, because that's a very safe position. If somebody wants to come and hit you, you know, they will start yeah. to think like, okay, where do I hit? Because your head is buried down, your back is all folded, your legs and your arms, you know, mm-hmm. you're like a ball. And people, you know, they get confused. They say, okay, where do I strike here first? It's a very safe position. And people should not be ashamed of themselves that, you know what, I am going through issues. You know, the one thing that keeps people stuck is the fear and the shame that comes with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Like to actually suddenly not have your feet on the ground and you're sliding down a hill.
Yeah.
Right. Is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. And the shame that, oh, yeah, they're going to think, oh, my goodness, Rose is going through that. Wow. We didn't think she could go down that rabbit hole.
But it isn't what people are actually thinking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The truth is that's in your own head.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. This is, and that is the most difficult stumbling block, like you're saying, just admitting. I did want to say that the fetal position, I recommend it because that is where you were in the womb as well. And yes. So there's like a sense of harmony mm-hmm. that you can allow yourself to feel.
Yeah. And it's safety for you. Because
yeah. that's well, there's how you more levels yeah. you're speaking of, right? That mm-hmm. you know, if you are actually in physical danger, I say run. Don't get in the fetal position, but unless you can't run, so then fetal position. But I'm sorry, I'm in a bit of an extremist as a martial artist. So, you know, I am working on opening a school for martial arts because I've been told by all my teachers that it's time, and I'm like, oh, I don't think so. But yeah. Anyway, it includes teaching people to run away.
Yes. Yeah. First, sometimes right? it's safer to run.
Yeah, but if you don't know, you can.
Yeah. But if you don't know, you can, as you are saying, then you'll yeah. kill up. Yeah.
I know it sounds crazy, but most people, when they hear it, they go, oh, well, why would I run if I'm a martial artist? Oh, my goodness. That's the whole point of it is to not fight, to learn union of the spirit that you are that has been allowed the gift of life. How about that? I know I'm crazy. I know there's a craziness to it. Okay. So you offer a newer book that discusses this exact issue, right? Yes. And it's called Exhume. And I'm going to do this correctly because my brain is obviously Exhume or Heal.
Yes. Right? Exhume or Heal.
Wow. That's, it gives me a real sense of where we would go because you do have a great description as well on your website about this.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And the website, can you give the address? I had it up, but I have to look on my phone to find it.
Okay. It's both on Amazon and my personal website. So my personal website is roseslifecoaching.com. roseslifecoaching.com. And when you click there, you go to shop. That's where you find my books. I've even published 2 more books this year. So I have 3 books now on Amazon.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So this is your newest one. And you also run resorts and for healing and whatnot as well. Like you work directly with people.
Yes, I work directly with people. I run life transformational retreats. When people have gone through like a roller coaster in life, you have been divorced, you have been hurt, and you are confused with life, which most of us do. You don't know where to start. You know, it's always very, very helpful for people to come together with the same people that are on the same wavelength, like-minded people. It's always safe to be there because everybody's going through something that is similar to your situation. So there's no judgment. Nobody's there.
And if you do feel it, then it is, you get a sense that that's in my mind. I don't feel that about the other person.
Yeah.
That's us. Okay, so and there's a level of group situation, which of course is offering, as you're saying, people to reach out to as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just get hooked on that because my own journey of comfortably and to this day, you know, if I can be there for someone else, I really will be. And I do my best to have that. And I've gone through a period where it's very difficult for me to do that.
Yeah.
And it's disheartening and sad, right? For me, like the deeper part of who I am.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm letting myself down and others down, you know?
Yeah.
And I have, you know, done what you said, those first steps is recognizing, oh, this is, I mean, I'm in a pit here. Need to actually recognize I am and then be open to stepping out of it.
Yeah.
And I get you right. It's like asking outward is that first step. There's some stumbling blocks on the way, to be honest with you. But so there's a huge amount of people. As one dear friend who's a psychologist said to me, Zena, really all the courses we're putting together are for PTSD because the world is full of it right now.
The world is full of it right now. The world is going through shared trauma because everybody is suffering from the effects of the pandemic, right? One way or the other. You have either lost loved ones. You are either struggling with being alone in your house, but as humans, we are social beings, right? We are used to be out and about and communicating with other people. You have lost your job, you have lost income, and now you have all these depressive modes and moods that you are going through, which for most people, it's foreign for them. So people just don't even know how to be with their children and their husbands under the same roof 24 hours a day. because that was...
I've been wondering
about that for people. Yeah. People used to be away from each other for 8 to 10 hours in a day. And then when they come home, they're only together for 4 hours minimum or maximum, depending what time you go to bed. After that, it's rush, rush, rush. You know, everybody's out and about over the weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
activities, right? Rather than stuck in four walls.
Yeah.
Well, I got 4 walls here.
So now people have been stuck in 4 walls with the kids. And I'm sure the children, they can't wait to leave their parents and go and meet other kids.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no, I've been really thinking about that and teenagers. Oh, you know how that is, right? Your whole system is like on fire with hormones. I've been worried about people, and it's being admitted. This is a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a huge problem. Very huge problem. And so it's...
Well, on top of the stress, my psychologist friend was offering that this idea that, I mean, PTSD is a very special thing. I am a veteran, so I have it, but it's from something unrelated. But I have dear friends who've assisted me through this process who are veterans. Mm-hmm. And they have received this via something that is, you know, the reason they have this term, because of what happens to people who do go off and fight in wars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because it's initially the whole concept means there's trauma, right? But anyway, it's so, but to get into it and then you have to walk tall and be perfectly fine. I mean, as a person who spent time in the military, I know that, you know, it's about getting the job done, being clear, having your mindset, understanding what you're doing. It's a whole level of really extreme work for every single person, no matter what rank they are in the military.
Yes.
It's an extreme situation.
Mm-hmm. And people underestimate the effects of trauma. You know, when you're out there on the battlefield, you are hypervigilant because, you know, your life could be taken away from you. You could be in another world before you know it. So, it's that hypervigilance that the military people go through. And, you know, I find that society does not give enough honor to the military, because these are the guys that are putting their lives at risk to protect you, who is eating your oatmeal on the table
who is driving
your car in a freeway.
You're
driving there because you are safe. But who is protecting you? It's the army. But what do you do to the army when it comes back into society?
Drop them. Yeah. Don't care. It doesn't matter.
You don't care.
You were there, so you should be able to stand up. And we do it to each other at times. But at not. Yes, no, it's turning around in Canada, just so you know. And the United States to a degree.
Yeah.
Where they're saying amongst themselves that we gave our best, you know, and we can honor each other if we're not getting it in the world. Because to be honest with you, I don't know anyone who joined the military said, I want to be honored by my community.
No.
You know, so they don't really kind of push themselves out there, to be honest. That's my experience with it. It is something that they do. And we can as individuals understand that we have expectations of them, but don't we have that to some degree of everyone? And it's across the board in this culture that if you're weak, right, if you fall over, you know, then, you know, you're just not strong enough. That's a tough thing. You know, you're just, now we're just like going to come in, because I had it. People coming in to strip me of, you know, like, oh, we'll help you here, but they don't. They're just like pulling things away from you and trying to like strip the bones of something dying. It was wild.
That's
it was
true.
It was beautiful and scary at the same time.
Yeah, that's very and true. That's very true. You know, and you know, I also believe that you know when the military people come back into the community, there should be programs set up for them to reintegrate them into the community. Because when you guys are out there, there's a sense of community when you are there, right? Because you're always...
Oh, there working. Is.
Yeah, you're always...
We're relying on each other to survive this.
Yeah, you're relying on each other. And one of you gets hurt, nobody leaves until that other person has been taken care of. Even if you leave, you always look back, you know, what's going on with my partners. But when you come back into the community, you know, it's different. It's a shock for you guys as well, right? Because you are used to that community living. When you come here, it's not like that. You come here, people expect you to know how to live in the community. But this is a different mindset for you guys. You have to relearn. And I feel there isn't enough programs.
Oh, it's terrible.
Help,
there isn't.
Yeah, to help the military. When they come back into the community, there should be programs that they should help them. And for life, these are not...
Well, and this has gone on for, you know, a long time in this culture. It's almost built in. It's
it's built in, for, you know?
For at least a few, at least 1,000 years or more, maybe longer. I don't know. Maybe it's always. I'm talking about the Western culture. There may be other places I don't know about where they do assist. So I'm not familiar with any. I can tell you that, and it's something that one of the issues that a lot of people don't know. Just so you know, is that. And other people is that they're actually to a degree not allowed to talk about it. Do you understand? Like when they're in the military, they aren't. When they leave, they can say things like me. I'm allowed to at this point to say, by the way, folks, the Canadian suicide rate for those people who were and have been and are in the military is extremely high because they don't have any supports. The supports are so low that it is shocking. At one point, for example, I had a dear someone, a colleague, who was still in the military who could not speak out loud for themselves, but they had done a couple tours over in Afghanistan and they came back and there was one woman who'd been hired by the federal government to assist everyone coming back. So his appointment, he'd been waiting years to have an appointment with this one person just to debrief.
Yeah.
Never mind the condition they were in. So that's an example of what's happening with your troops, folks. They're not getting any assistance.
No.
Yeah.
And
as an example, and of course, this culture we live in is whether we like it or not, is about showing off our power and our strength and our. I don't agree with this kind of culture. I'm sure you know that, Rosemary, but it is what we have. So it's like learning how to heal, as you're saying. Mm-hmm. Recognize you're not right.
Yeah,
there's something wrong
here. Something wrong with you.
What if you've never had that right? How does that work for people who can't go back and even there isn't even anyone who could say, well, I remember or you remember where there was something warmer, better feeling about yourself? What about those people?
Yeah, I think those people got there after something had happened to them, right? Back in my country, people went to join the guerrilla war.
Oh my dear, yeah.
To fight against the regime in my country. So most of them, when they left their homes, when they came back, they found that they had no homes anymore because those homes had been destroyed.
Oh my goodness.
So I guess people they remain in that state because they are trying to protect themselves from finding further injury to their lives, to their mental health. Because when you leave your home going to the battlefield, you know, like the troops, they go
out. Well, we haven't had that feeling here that you're speaking about, where you do go off, you know, you have to do this absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And going home and having nothing there.
Yeah.
Right. That has happened in North America. And of course, that was during the Civil War.
Yeah.
Right. In the United States. And of course, in North America, my family, this is a long time ago, right? It's happened here, but part of my family fought with the British. They were a part of the indigenous folk. That's just a part of my family, right? Who live here. But they originally were Haudenosaunee. And so they fought to keep their land in New York from the United States earlier than that, you know, earlier than the Civil War.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was a Civil War. But, I mean, that's an example. The Haudenosaunee lost their land, right?
Mm-hmm.
They lost everything because they already were losing it. But anyway, so there is a thing around the globe where that happens. And, of course, there is no structure, as you're saying, to even like we don't have it now, right? Even when we have a home to bring them.
Yeah.
So you're saying they end up in this hyper-vigilant, but I'm saying they have a memory of somewhere that was better, don't they?
Yeah.
In themselves. Well, that's what I'm saying. You're saying that everyone has a memory of something better. I have met people who don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so seriously.
That's why I say that.
Like people who.
Yeah.
But they're. Okay, wait. Though you have the answer. Oh, the victim role.
Yeah. It's because people are just trying to protect themselves from further hurt. So they decide to stay there. Because it's safe.
No, I know. I've done it. Mm-hmm. Like I, you know, like you said, curl up in a ball, mm-hmm. let all the kicks come in rather than standing up for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Every now and then. Yeah. And one thing also that I've learned is when you have gone through something, you always fall for the familiar.
You know, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Familiar is always the easiest, and when you are in trouble, it's always easiest to stay there than trying to venture into something in case it's worse trouble than what you are going through.
Well, I find it like, and I'm sure all of us find it difficult to add something new to the structures we have. It's untried waters. I know that that's the only way for this person to learn how to feel at ease again in general.
Yeah.
For me, like it's for myself.
Change. You know, fear of change. People just don't want change, you know.
It's going to happen anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, people don't want change.
Oh, I don't. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah. People don't want change. You know,
oh, dear.
Yeah.
I get really anxious when, you know, little things change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you help people through that and past it?
Yes, I do. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. I help them to realize that, you know what, there is light at the end of the tunnel. I help them to accept themselves where they are and also empower them to move from where they are going forward. I help them to realize that there is something called resilience, and use that resilience to create your hope and step into your future.
Wow. That's, yeah, that's neat. Resilience is an interesting term, but you're talking really about part of something that's in us all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody's resilient. But do you know how to use the resilience in you?
Mm.
Yeah.
I know I've used it before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just to do things. I mean, I've learned a lot of things, you know. over the years. I like, you know, technical things like music. It took resilience to learn to play music from a young child on, to write songs, the whole thing. Doing podcasting, there's a certain amount of resilience. That's why I'm doing this, right? To bring hope and help for people. Wow. Okay. So that's in us. It's there.
Everybody has some resilience in you. Remember when you were a kid, you know, and you fell in school, what made you get up?
Oh, because they force you to do the next project.
Yeah. What made you get up?
Oh my goodness. Well, everything is moving along.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Because I did end up with nothing, right? I lost everything. I lost my home. I lost my family. I lost everything. You name it, I lost it.
Yeah.
And of course, I had the company that I was forming and part of in the United States, I lost that. I lost my music. So I lost everything and my home burned. It's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. What happened? And I also had now debt, right? And to be honest with you, it is the shock of all of that in a very short period of time. We're talking a matter of a few weeks. Everything went that way. Wow. And so, so here I am with nothing.
Yeah.
And not aware, of where to move, right? Because there's nothing. There's no connections to anything I had before. Yeah. So the moving forward, I felt like I needed to stop. Right.
Yeah.
But not having, and this is still to this day really harsh on me, not having an outside group to work with that gave me very clear dates to work with, like you said, in school.
Yeah.
Was horrific. Like an outside source saying, here's some deadlines.
Yes. Yeah. Because as humans, we are used to be following a certain structure. We are not animals, you know. Animals, they have no structure. They can run wherever they go and they don't sleep in the same place every day. But for us humans, you always come back somewhere. And what is your somewhere? And when that somewhere is no longer there, that's where the pandemonium, you know, the pandemonium starts.
Yeah.
You know, you get confused. You're scratching for solutions and what do I do? And then you start panicking. You go into panic mode.
Because, in a permanent kind of way.
Yeah.
Like you said, hypervigilant.
Yeah. Because the familiar, you know, I mentioned about the familiar. The familiar has been taken away from you. You know, it's no longer there. Where do you come back to? You know, you have lost your home. You have lost something that you used to keep going, your music. All those are familiar things to you. So when they are lost, you get lost too with that.
Oh, yeah. You know? No schedule either.
No schedule.
Like you're saying.
You go to.
Oh, dear.
And you go like, oh, my God, what's going on? I am not used to this.
Oh no! Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you offer classes. You offer multiple things. So I don't want to put the words into your mouth of what they are, but you've written 3 books this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
you have a website where people can. I'm sure they're obviously COVID friendly.
Yeah.
Sessions actually with you too, as well.
Offer Zoom meetings. Most of our meetings right now, because of what's going on, they are all virtual. So there's a lot of platforms that we use. There's StreamYard, there's Zoom, there's Facebook, there's WhatsApp broadcasts, where we go into virtual mode. We see each other over
device.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it has
okay.
been really effective where people have gone through the worst situations in their lives, but they are still able to be in the comfort of their own home. They don't have to drive to a certain place so that they can start the healing process.
That's an option, though, that that you offer in the future. And that is, I believe you can find that on another website for your work, which is Reignite Your Groove.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
yeah. Because we mentioned the other one, Rose's Life Coaching.
Coaching.com. Yeah. And then reigniteyourgroove.com. That's for the retreats.
Yeah. Yeah. Which are, I guess, are acting differently right now.
Yes. Right now they are all different because they are all virtual.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They are all virtual.
Which might be neat, you know, because in the future, even after the COVID, as blessings to that happening, many blessings to having that happen. You know, there's there will be the, actually right up front to people at some point.
Yeah.
And it's kind of neat to have this whole new world of virtual where people are beginning, you know, 'cause they have to for people, right? I'm sure there's people you're working with who couldn't live without you and the work you do, right?
Yes. Yeah.
For periods of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause I have experienced that. As soon as this came down on, I belong to some private groups where we assist each other with the PTSD issue. Military folk, they're private groups. And, you know, when this came down, there was a lot of them, even all through it, where they ended up, well, what am I going to do? You know, I need my assistance with my different courses, because they're in a situation where they absolutely need that help.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to lose that, I bet this has been a great for your industry, because to be honest with you, there's plenty of people who could, you know, who could be getting a chance to work with you.
Yes. Yes.
And they couldn't otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of neat, isn't it?
Yeah.
To have this.
It's such a neat service that, you know, people from all over the world. I'm working right now with this lady in Italy. She bought my book on Amazon. She got hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we are always communicating either, you know.
Well, this is it. Yeah. We have this possibility now. And that's the other part I forgot. Yeah, which is that it means that people who wouldn't in the past been able to get a chance to actually work with you.
To talk
to you. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
She was like, wow, I'm so excited to hear your voice.
Yes.
I read your book, but, you know, it's so nice to hear you speak.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's... like I'm saying, it's a future for everyone. So there's that. And then you have the books which are on Amazon. And I only mentioned the one. I didn't see the names of the other ones. Exhume or Heal, which is, wow. So is that like there's that point where you tell yourself that name? Because that's what I get from that name. Mm-hmm. There's that point where you have to realize you're just not right. Things are just not right here, kind of thing.
Yeah. And we have come to a realization, a self-realization.
Yeah, which is the process as you go along. Yeah. As you're saying, you're going to listen to people who are saying, well, we can see how you're not right.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, I don't want to hear that. I've certainly come across my brain telling me that you don't want to hear that, you know, and get frustrated and defensive. Is that a huge part of, you know, trauma?
It is. It is. Yeah. When you have been traumatized, you know, it doesn't take you a millisecond to be defensive. You know, it doesn't take you. That will be your new life. You're always on edge. You're always in defensive mode because you want to protect yourself.
Well, I was doing it before the trauma points. You know, it's part of the human condition.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand up for me and I'm going to be right. You know, geez, I know I don't learn that way, but I do need to hear it. Like to hear myself say that inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, there it is. There's that noise. There, I want to defend myself because for whatever reason.
Yeah. And
whatever I think I'm protecting myself from.
Yeah. And the other thing is that we stop listening to ourselves.
Yeah, that's it. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. We stop
listening. I'm right, you're wrong.
Ourselves. Yeah. You know, because there's that little voice in you that always tells you, Rose, wake up. And then you wake up. And then it will tell you, something is very wrong. Why are you not sleeping? You are not sleeping because. And then when it comes to because, we shut down because we don't want to hear it.
Oh, you mean there's simple answers? And there are. That's the weirdest part to all of this. Just hearing that noise of dissent, of, you know, because I mean, it's crazy to hear some of it where you realize that you're just degrading yourself.
Yeah.
Right. In the end, it's like taking a rock and crushing yourself into the ground. It's pretty intense what we're doing to ourselves. And of course, you know, there's the other side where you feel puffed out. And I've discovered it, you know, that's a good way to feel as well, but it's not it. It's that's rushing out into to protect yourself as well. Right. To say, I was joking, but serious. I'm right and you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. Not even in a protective way. I'm righteous. Dang, I love to be righteous. Who doesn't? I don't want to be crushing myself. I'd rather be righteous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are paths when you get assistance and you're there. In the world, you've got books to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Are they workbooks as well for people?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
I have a new workbook, which is also out. Now, if you go to my website under shop, that's where I put all the books. So the new workbook is also called Exhume or Heal.
Okay.
A Widow's Memoir, but it's a workbook. It's actually in blue.
Okay.
It's written in blue, Exhume or Heal, and then workbook.
Fantastic. So there's a combination, which is great for anyone out there. And if they're, you know, finding they're really in need, they can actually get in touch with you as well.
Yes, they can. They can certainly get in touch with me.
So I cannot thank you enough for spending some time with me here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about, you know, getting this opportunity. And I hope you join us again in the future. We have a lot of, I have other shows, just Tea Time, where we just chat about things going on.
Yeah.
Or just pick a topic, you know, sometimes. But this first step of introducing you to everyone out there is, I feel very blessed. And I get so excited and I ramble on. That's the best part. No. No, I, as soon as I listen to the first, there's a short video of you chatting. Was that on, I can't remember where I saw it. It's wonderful. It was a great blessing just to see that. And where is that video? Is it on YouTube? I'll see about putting a link below on the show to that one as well. As well as your rosaslifecoaching.com and Reignite Your Groove.
Yeah.
You have great names. Yeah. So for people out there who are looking for the assistance, you know, here you go. Here's a great opportunity. I know there's so many of you. You know, start with her books or get in touch with her. Thank you, Rosemary. And did I say Marie? That's a different name. It's Rosemary. They're two different names. Like Rosemary is the beautiful lovely smelling plant that I love for cooking.
Yes, it's beautiful for cooking.
Yeah. I definitely have some here. Oh my goodness. And I did see it is Trish, right?
Yes.
Rosemary Trish.
Rosemary Trish.
Mpambwa. Can't thank you enough for joining us. Is there anything, you know, just for those people out there, because I know they're out there, in general, that you could just offer before we head off to our, you know, the world?
The last thing that I want to say to the listeners is transformation is like removing your makeup at the end of the day, looking yourself in the mirror, and then you see the true self that is called the rosemary, is when you remove the eyelashes, your hair, everything, and you are right there in front of you. How do you react to that image that you see in the mirror? Do you hate that image? Do you resent that image? Or do you rejoice when you see yourself like that? And then after that, what are you thinking of what got you there? You know, everybody is shaped by the life experiences that we go through. Yet I am here because I went through widowhood and I went through a lot of trauma, shared trauma, you name it. I went through it. I was also hypervigilant at one time because I didn't want to lose my kids. I didn't want to lose my life as well. So when you look yourself in the mirror, that's when transformation starts, because you're actually looking yourself in the eye like, hey, Rose, what's going on? Why are you here? You know, and then when you accept yourself for who you are, right there, that's when your future starts, because your future starts today, right now.
Thank
you. You're working for your tomorrow, not
wow. Yeah. That really hits home. Like, seriously. I mean, I only feel like I've been able to do that in the last few weeks. Well, I'm not saying I'm not hearing all the noise, but I'm looking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me.